Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You talked about the fact that we're a ministry dedicated to helping people hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And indeed, that's what's happening. There are so many people around the country that are joining with us, and we are journeying together as God's people, God's children, learning how to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And we think about this gospel, we think about the good news of Jesus Christ, and we think of it more in terms of a message to send to the lost. But that's not the case. Certainly it is a message to give to the lost, to proclaim to those who do not know Jesus so that they can be made alive together with him, so that they can have eternal life. But it's also a message to believers. We need to hear what the gospel is saying to us each and every moment of the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever life throws our way, we need to hear what the gospel is saying to us at that moment and ask ourselves if we are fully persuaded, if we fully believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be, that he indeed took away our sins, that indeed he has made us righteous, indeed that his spirit is alive, living in us, renewing our mind, teaching us all the things about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's there to help us live out this good news of Jesus Christ. So the gospel message isn't just a message for the lost. It is really our story as believers. And there are thousands of people around the United States, Canada, and the world who are joining in and saying, let's live this life together. Let's learn how to hear and believe and live together. That's what's so exciting about this outreach. That's what's so, I think, positive and energetic and just thrilling to know that we are doing this together. We're learning how to apply the gospel in day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And one of the things as we move towards Christmas is this idea of patience, of realizing that God is at work on our behalf, that he's working all things together for good. Sometimes we get very impatient. You know, Lord, you know, give, you know, I need you to do this yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to wait. But when we realize that God has good things for us, patience can be a part of the story. There's a great passage in Galatians that says this, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of sons. So he says, when the time had fully come, you ask the question, why did God wait so long to send Jesus? I mean, the world was lost. The world was in darkness. The world was dead in sin. Why did God wait 2,000 years to send Jesus? Why all that time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because it was the right time.
The right time.
God
yeah.
sent Jesus at the right time. And oftentimes I hear people say, you know, I was 40 years of age when I came to know Christ, or I was in my 50s, or I was in my 60s. Why did it take so long? Well, it took so long because that was the right time for you.
Yeah.
Oftentimes we're wondering, God, when are you going to act on our behalf? When are you going to do something? When are you going to change the circumstance? When are you going to change my desires? When are you going to change me? You know, I'm waiting. I'm just when is it going to happen? Well, it's going to happen at the right time because God knows that right time.
Yeah.
And that's what we as believers in Christ need to understand, that if we can recognize that God is busy at work, working all things together for our good, that will calm our hearts, that will quieten our minds, and that will allow us to wait on the Lord, knowing that patience is going to bring about the best results as far as our hearts and our desires are concerned. So why did Christ come when he did? Because that was the right time. And when it's the right time in your life, Christ is there for you already.
Absolutely. Well, friends, if you'd like to discuss this, if you have some issue you'd like to discuss, if there's a question you'd like us to discuss and answer for you, why, this is a good opportunity. The lines are wide open at 844-32-BASIC. We await your calls right now, 844-32-BASIC. And Bob and Richard, it's Christmas time, and I pray that our listeners will be behind us in supporting this ministry as we continue to reach out across North America and literally around the world with this good news that we encourage people every day to hear, believe, and live. Question from a listener concerning Matthew 16:24. If would like us to expound on that, and of course that's the one where Jesus said, "He who wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me."
Well, it's a powerful passage. We want to find ourselves. We want to find out who we are. We want to find our place in this world, and those questions really make us focus on ourselves. You know, I've got to make a name for me, and so it's all about me. And what Jesus is saying, if you really want to find yourself, you got to quit asking those questions and look to Jesus. And that's the denying of yourself and looking to him, because only in him are you going to really find out who you really are.
Yeah.
Because every identity that we can come up with, it's all derived from something else. You know, I get my identity from what I do. I'm a businessman, I'm an actor, I'm a doctor, I'm this or I'm that. So it's derived from what I do. We can get it from the opinions of others. They think I'm really nice or really, you know, whatever. But those are all dependent on something else, and those things can change. Our professions can change. We can become disabled and aren't able to do the jobs that we once did. And so who are we then? You know, moms, once their kids are out of the nest, I think that's the single, the highest percentage of depression happens in that particular group of women. Once they're empty nesters, so to speak, they don't know who they are. They don't know what their purpose is in life. So we have to, you know, stop the madness of trying to figure out who we are and recognize who Jesus is and allow our identities to be shaped and formed by him. And when it's shaped and formed by him, then it's an identity that's going to last. It's going to endure trials and tribulations. It's going to stand eternally. That's a foundation that will never be shaken. And so we deny ourselves. We put self kind of back in the corner and realize, you know, the more we tried to figure out who we are, the more messed up we became. So I'm going to deny myself, and I'm going to take up my cross, and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to look to him in all things and receive life and identity from him.
Yeah, I see this as almost a direct parallel with Paul's statement in Galatians 5 about the battle between the flesh and the spirit. It is a struggle. I mean, when Jesus says, pick up your cross, and I have to deny this selfish clamoring for attention that I have, that's hard work. And yet it can be done. As hard a work as it is, it can be done by faith because of the grace of the Holy Spirit living in us. And it's powerful when you see it happen, and it's frustrating when you don't.
Yeah.
But Jesus is sufficient to it.
Yes, yeah, this indeed. Matthew 16 passage, of course, Jesus is foretelling of his coming death. And but do you think the disciples kind of thought it strange he talked about taking up a cross when they weren't? I don't think they were sure that that's the way he was going to die. Or
yeah, they didn't know. I mean, Peter answered the question that Jesus posed to them: "Who do you say that I am?" He answered it correctly: "You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God." And this information had been revealed to him by God the Father.
Yeah.
And then Jesus went on to talk about his impending death, burial, and resurrection. And Peter just recoiled at that. Yeah. No, Lord, that's not going to happen to you. We will protect you. We will get in the way. We will stop that from happening. And so at that very moment, you know, Peter went from listening to truth that God the Father had been revealing to him about the identity of Christ, and started relying upon his own understanding. And Jesus jumped all over him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Wow, what a rebuke that was.
Yeah.
And Peter didn't know what hit him. But Jesus said, you're thinking like a man. You're not thinking the thoughts of God. If we're going to have new life, if everything's going to be made new, it's going to have to go through death, burial, and resurrection. That's the way of this new life in Christ. And so for us to experience it, that's what Jesus is saying, that we must deny ourselves. We must put our human thinking on the back shelf, deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. Because as we follow him through the cross to the empty tomb, that's when we receive new life, real life in him.
Yes, indeed. Well, we appreciate hearing from our listeners who drop us an email and pose questions or particular issues for us to discuss. We would love to hear from you. And, of course, there's a prominent email link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Hope you'll take advantage of it. Again, basicgospel.net. We'd be glad to address your question or your particular issue on a later edition. Guys, a question from James, who emailed us to ask, says, "One believes once saved it is eternal and cannot be lost or left. The other believes once saved, one can then reject and become lost again, or in other words, walk away. Are both saved having these two beliefs? What are the scripture passages that support one belief or the other?"
Well, there's ample passages in the New Testament that support the fact that once Jesus saves us, that's an eternal transaction. And what happens in salvation is much more than forgiveness. Jesus actually makes us alive together with him. We've been regenerated. It's the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And so we've been given life, and it's Christ's life that we've been given. He's come to live inside of us, and Christ isn't going to die. So as long as Christ is alive, then we have life everlasting. And he has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And the cross guarantees that. The thing that killed mankind initially was sin. When Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sin entered the world and death entered the world at that time. They didn't die physically. They died spiritually. They were sent out of the garden. Angels with flaming swords were there to protect the way back so they would not partake of the tree of life. But death entered the world at that moment. So in salvation, it's restoring life. That's what happens. We who were dead are made alive together in Christ. And then Christ comes to live inside of us. That's a complete transaction. It's an eternal transaction. And so we can say that we are saved completely. That's exactly what the writer of Hebrews said in the seventh chapter of his letter, that when Jesus saves, he saves us completely. So we are saved forever. And that's all guaranteed because of the work of Christ. I know in the question, it says we can reject, and we're bringing it back down to us. When we make those statements that I have the power. No, God has the power. We're created beings. And so God saves us by grace through faith, and he sustains us by grace through faith.
Yeah.
So we may in our minds have doubts, and we may come to a point and say, "Jesus, I don't even know if you're the way, the truth, and the life."
Mm-hmm.
But if we're really saved, Jesus is going to deal with those doubts and bring us to this point of assurance and confidence in him. That's just the way it works. He's promised to complete his work in us.
Yeah. There's an aspect of this that people have to be very careful of. And the last part of this was, well, tell me which verses support which point of view. As if, you know, if you list, you know, one kind of verse on the left and another kind of verse on the right, then the one with the most verses must win.
Yeah.
You can't study the Bible that way.
Yeah.
Look at it in its entirety. Mm-hmm. If you're a person who tends to believe that you can lose your salvation, study those texts in particular that say otherwise. Struggle with them. Go through it. Let the Spirit reveal. If you're a person who believes you can't lose your salvation, there are some problematic texts about, well, you know, this judgment thing and all that. Go through them. Let the Spirit teach you. Don't proof text it. Take it all in context.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, we have produced a booklet with quite a number of Bible passages that encourage us in times of need. And, Richard, give us your thoughts on this particular booklet and how it can help our listeners.
I think one of the easiest things to say about this booklet, Your Identity in Christ, is that the day we had a little short staff meeting and said, we need to put this booklet together. And we had gathered up all these passages. That very day, 5 minutes after the meeting, I got an email from someone. I was able to go to this collection of passages and say, look this up, look this up, look this up. This will help you. Mm-hmm. That's the value of it. And if I use this in my own email counseling, it's a slam dunk that I use it in my own life.
Sure.
And you can use it in your life, too. This identity in Christ issue is huge. And what do we have, 42? And that's just scratching the surface, but 42 passages that are unequivocal in their statement of the beauty of identity and what Jesus has done for us.
And it's available free of charge. All you need to do is go to our website, basicgospel.net. There over on the right side, near the center of the top page, front page, you'll find Your Identity in Christ. It's the booklet, and we'll be glad for you to download it, read it online, or order hard copies of it. Any way is a good way for to discover your identity in Christ. 1-844-322-2742. 844-32-BASIC. We have plenty of open lines right now, still plenty of time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you and address your question or your particular issue on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-32-BASIC. Guys, we kind of, if I can say, entertained a question of this nature a couple or 3 weeks ago, and it comes up again. This is from a lady whose name will remain anonymous. She says, my question is regarding children and childbearing. I want to know, is it God's will to use contraceptives such as condoms or any other form of birth control in a Christian marriage? I emphasize Christian marriage because I read wonderful scriptures in the Bible referring to fruitfulness of the womb in marriage being a blessing, specifically Psalm 127. I know others have their convictions on this question, but in spite of how others feel, what is God's attitude about contraceptives?
Well, there's really nothing in the Word of God that speaks to contraceptives. What we see from the very beginning, the command or the imperative to Adam and Eve was to be fruitful and multiply. God wanted to populate the earth. That's why he created mankind, and he wanted mankind to flourish, and he wanted mankind to flourish as mankind walked in dependence upon the Lord. Now, as far as contraceptives, many folks go back to that very statement in the beginning, and they develop policies. So there are some churches that would say no contraceptives. You cannot use contraceptives. That is a sin. And so if you do, you're committing a sin. Others have a different viewpoint. What I would say to husbands and wives is to make a decision together. You make a decision together based on your situation and stick with what that decision is. If you want to use contraceptives and plan the family, in a certain way, I think you are free to do that, because there's nothing in the Word of God that says don't. What the Word of God would speak to is once conception has happened, that embryo, that zygote, that is a living thing now. It's a life. And so at that point, you protect the life. But until that occurs, to avoid that, I think that's a decision that you and your mate can make together, based on the counsel you've received, your upbringing. You choose based on all of those particular aspects of your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Bob, I see a beautiful new 2015 calendar sitting lying right in front of you there. Tell us about that.
Well, this is a wonderful calendar, and we're gonna send one to everybody that contributes as long as supplies last. Yes. We have a limited supply of these, but it is a beautiful 2015 calendar. We've entitled it "God with Us," and I asked our good friend Michael Young, who is who lives in the Bronx. His father-in-law is Timothy Riles, and Timothy is the pastor of the Beulah Baptist Church in Harlem. But I asked Michael to share some of his images with us to use for this calendar. Michael has an incredible eye. He posts things on his Facebook site, and that's where I first saw his pictures, and I thought, wow, those are just so powerful. So he went throughout the city of New York and all of the other, areas up there, the Bronx and Brooklyn and that sort of thing, and just took various pictures. And we've assembled 12 of those for this calendar. And it's a reminder to us that God is with us wherever we are. You know, in the last, I think it was 2013, it was the first time in human history that more than 50% of the world's population actually lived in cities. Up until that time, most of the population were in rural areas, but that has changed. That's one of the significant changes that has taken place over the last 20, 25 years. More and more people are moving to cities. So where is God's focus? Well, it's on people. Well, the majority of those people are in cities. So we show some city scenes just to remind us that God is right there with us. No matter what we're going through, we can count on him to deliver on his promises to each and every one of us. But it's a beautiful calendar, God with us. It's yours free for a gift to Basic Gospel this month.
Yeah. And you can find, of course, our link at basicgospel.net, a support link there, or you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC. Now, that number is very similar to call-in number, so don't get those mixed up. 844-41-BASIC is to our operator, and we'd love for you to pick up that phone now and make a contribution to the ministry if you can. You know, it's, as I said the other day, it's really impossible to overstate the importance of helping to support Basic Gospel as it reaches out over North America and literally around the world with the truth of God's love, grace, and saving life in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you write to us or call to offer a word of encouragement or to share a newfound understanding of God's grace in Christ, well, it's a fresh reminder of one of the primary reasons that we're on the air every day. And when you give to help keep Basic Gospel on the air and online, we know that God has caused this ministry to make a difference in your life. And for that, of course, we're truly grateful. Together, we've been blessed with a marvelous privilege of being ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And together with you, it's our hope to keep reaching greater numbers of those who hear, believe, and live the good news of his love, grace, and life. If you've supported this ministry in the past, you are one of the reasons that we're on the air. If you've not begun to support this ministry, we ask you to become a partner with us now. We need your generous support at this time. You'll find that support link, as I said, in the header at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator during Central Time office hours at 844-41-BASIC, 844-41-BASIC. We hope to hear from you today. And, Bob, Richard, I know that we need our listener support right now.
Yes, we do. I mentioned yesterday that our goal between now and December 31st is $213,482. And that may seem like a lot. There are some ministries, I saw one the other day, that their year-end goal was $2,000,004.
Ouch.
So we're a little bit less than that, about 10% of that. But that's the target for the end of the year. And it just takes a lot of people doing a little bit to meet this goal. And I certainly have all the confidence in the world that God is going to move in the hearts of people, not only to meet this goal, but to shatter this goal. That's how God works. Yeah. And so if you've benefited, if you want to help expand this Basic Gospel circle and bring more and more people into this discipleship process of hearing, believing, and living the good news of Jesus Christ, I encourage you to invest with us, to give a significant gift at this time of the year so that we can continue reaching out and so that more and more people can join in and be a part of this journey of living out the good news in their day-to-day lives.
Yeah. Well, the link, of course, is at basicgospel.net, or again, speaking with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. Also, we invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and click subscribe and join our email list. Sign up today and receive the links to the daily broadcast, our blog posts, and other ministry updates. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.